response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Got the legend on the line, David Urban, one of my favorite Americans and local guy with a big brain and a big platform, a CNN commentator, actually good friends with Trump, knows what the hell he's talking about. Before I grab him, I want to him to listen to this piece because he'll relate to this from ABC this morning. Listen.
Higher new government data shows Americans are saving less of their income than at any other time in the last 4 years. The personal savings rate dropped sharply to 2.6% in April. 1 year ago, it was twice that high. And typically in a healthy economy, that savings rate is around 6%. So this does suggest that people are dipping into their savings to help pay for essentials like gas and groceries as those prices spike. Overall, prices in the economy right now are going up at the fastest pace in 3 years. So the inflation rate is 3.8%. Importantly now, Americans' paychecks are not keeping up with inflation. So on average, wages are up 3.6% in the past year. We have seen consumer spending has been very resilient, but some major retailers are warning of those signs of stress. Costco just reported record-breaking sales of gas. Shoppers are looking for lower prices there, and Costco said that a lot of those sales are from shoppers who are coming there for the very first time.
No one gets this better than David Urban. We're kind of at this inflection point, brother, where I feel like I talked to my boys in the car business, slowing down. I talked to my boys in the food business, grocery stores, slowing down. Are you feeling this, David?
Yeah, Marty, you know, here's the crazy part. I'm going to look at this one thing today. Hold on, bear with me.
Yeah, of course.
The S&P, I think, today again, was it another all-time high?
Oh, it's insane. He's so right. It's so bizarre.
So at one end of the economy, with people dipping into their savings, not being able to make, and at the other end of the economy, people who have money in the equities markets, or if you have a 401k that's invested, you're doing pretty well. But people overall don't have that kind of money, and no one's playing the stock market. They're worried about, making it home on the bus.
It's bizarre, David. We got people spending $80,000 for one Knicks ticket. We have folks who cannot buy groceries. It's the great divide, sir. Right? Right, David?
No, it is a great divide, Mark. Marty, it's a great divide, and it's bad because our country, the long-term health of our country, depends on everybody kind of experiencing the American dream together.
Yes.
You have to be able to get a shot at it. If you don't feel like you got a shot at the American dream, then forget about it. People are going to lose hope, and there'll be the divide in America will become bigger and bigger between the haves and the haves nots. And we don't want to have a country where people don't feel like they got a shot.
David Urban, I have a friend who sells real estate in Aspen. Median price is $7 million. They pay cash. Cash, David, 95% of the deals. Most of the people in Pittsburgh cannot afford a home. That's the great divide, sir.
Yeah. It is a great divide, and that's a challenge. Listen, Marty, that's a challenge, not just for Republicans, Democrats. It's a challenge for every person who enters political life. Is how do you flatten that out? How do you flatten it out so that people in Ambridge feel like they got a shot at the great American dream? But listen, if you work hard, you can make it. You may not have a house in Aspen, but you may have a house in Aspen Wall.
Nice. But David, it's getting worse, brother. 5 million Americans can't afford a house. What do we do, man?
Well, Marty, we got to bring. Listen, I do applaud the president's move to to reshore jobs, right? That's what we got to do. We got to bring manufacturing back to America. We got to make stuff in America. You're not going to listen. The gig economy, people working for Amazon and delivering packages and Grubhub and all those things, that's great. Driving for Uber, get a lot of flexibility, but that's not going to allow you to make enough money to buy a house.
No, no.
Right. And so the challenge is, Marty, how do we get, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I looked down the Ohio River when I went across the Ambridge Bridge,
yeah.
And for 6-7 miles down that river stretched the factory. That factory's gone, Marty. Those 15,000 jobs, high-paying jobs, all gone. So how do we get that back?
My parents bought their first house on Noble Street in Shadyside for $7,000. This is a true story. That yeah. house, David, that house today is $850,000. Same street, brother.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Well, that's just part of that's the American dream. I don't begrudge invest well and do well.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want people to be able to have an opportunity to go down. I tell this story, and people are probably sick of hearing it.
It's all right.
But when my dad graduated from Ambridge High School, with his, you know, he had graduated, walked downtown, walked over to J&L, got a job at J&L, working in the tin mill, and later became a boiler maker.
Love it.
Welder, rigger, boiler maker. But he was able to do that because he had a good work ethic,
yep,
Marty. He
yep.
was a strong back and a
yep.
good work ethic, and was able to raise his family.
Yep.
Today in America, I don't think that exists. If you're a kid and you're graduating from Ambridge High School, Hopewell High School, Aliquippa High School, Beaver, any of those places that I grew up, and you want to go work in a factory and raise your family, it's impossible.
I cannot get anyone to tell me how the hell we're going to get people to make $100,000 into a nice house. I can't.
Well, you know, there is, we are like, you know, naked plug for a company I'm working with, Eos Energy Systems.
Oh yeah.
Doing great work.
Love them.
Down in Turtle Creek and other places. We
love
reshored.
Them. Love them.
Manufacturing, doing things, but we need a lot of those.
Yes. David Urban, Trevin, tell David, when I ask you about buying a house, tell him the chances of you being able to afford a house anytime. You laugh about it, right?
I am laughing. And I'm kind of disappointed in myself and upset with myself because of, you know, decisions that you make earlier in life can impact you later in life and put you in certain situations. But David, as what Marty was referring to, is I laughed because the prices of housing is so high that the job market, and Marty said to me, well, what are you talking about? My paycheck, and I would think the average person, your paycheck isn't matching up to the opportunity
that you're
talking about.
Hold on, you have three jobs. Your wife has four more.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just saying.
That's true.
Marty, listen, I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah.
Listen, Trayvon, again, just like my pop had that opportunity. You should have that opportunity.
You should.
And I understand that, David, but let me ask this question. You and Marty are talking about the young students in the day, back in the day, and it's like those people have come from different eras. They've from the experiences
yeah.
of a war,
yeah,
not
yeah.
so much like the war that we're experiencing now, but a different type of war to where everything was more like blue collar. I mean, you had blue collar workers
true.
Who
yeah.
had the opportunities to make those things happen,
true.
Correct?
True.
Yeah.
We got to get back to that.
That's what I'm saying. We need to bring back. We need to reshore more jobs to America. We need to make more things in Pittsburgh.
We are. And we're pushing it. David Urban, my brother. Truth to power, man. Thank you.
Marty, thanks for doing what you do. Always great being with you on Fridays. All those people in Pittsburgh, have a great weekend.
Makes my day. David Urban, the man.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I love David Urban because he's a brilliant guy. He's a West Point guy, Penn Law School guy, but he's also a regular guy from here. Loves it here and has insane perspective. And he's close friends with Trump. No hyperbole, though. He just is, and he gives me the real deal. And I want to play this clip again as we get into this conversation. Go ahead, please, Drevin. Thank you.
Higher new government data shows Americans are saving less of their income than at any other time in the last 4 years. The personal savings rate dropped sharply to 2.6% in April. 1 year ago, it was twice that high. And typically in a healthy economy, that savings rate is around 6%. So this does suggest that people are dipping into their savings to help pay for essentials like gas and groceries as those prices spike. Overall, prices in the economy right now are going up at the fastest pace in 3 years. So the inflation rate is 3.8%. Importantly now, Americans' paychecks are not keeping up with inflation. So on average, wages are up 3.6% in the past year. We have seen consumer spending has been very resilient, but some major retailers are warning of those signs of stress. Costco just reported record-breaking sales of gas. Shoppers are looking for lower prices there, and Costco said that a lot of those sales are from shoppers who are coming there for the very first time.
So I asked around. My friends in the car business say it's slow. The Wall Street Journal did a piece yesterday saying there are a million fewer car buyers right now. Interest rates ticked up for homes, highest rate in almost a year. As a result, fewer homes being purchased. Food. I was texting with my friends in the food business. And all of them said the same thing. Hold on, let me get to my notes. Hold on. Only fair to get to the notes. Okay. Selling less stuff. The grocery stores are selling less stuff because it's people are feeling the pinch. Every single retail outlet is seeing this. Saw a piece yesterday. 46% fewer Americans planning for a big vacation. I completely get it. Look, I'm not saying we're in a depression or a recession, but there's this conflation of issues right now that's kind of raining down on us. Gas prices, it's $80 to fill your tank. It was 50, you know, right? If you're buying steak for the family, it's $38 a pound for filet, if that's what you like. And it was in the 20s. Stuff like that, it all adds up. Air travel is higher because of gas prices. Housing is insanely high. The median price in America is $440,000. The median price in Pittsburgh is $300,000. I asked my car guys the same thing. They're selling more used cars because people can't afford the new cars. They're in the 50s for a new car. It's weird. if you want a truck, like a Denali, which are gorgeous, fine. But they're 90 plus thousand. That's a house, man. Huh? I swear to God, I followed a guy in an Escalade. The new Escalade, it's electric. I saw one last Saturday in Bridgeville. It was so beautiful, I followed him. I looked it up, Trevin, when I got home, just for grins. Starting, 135,000.
And you just hurt my feelings.
135,000.
That's incredible.
It is. They have them for 160. I'm not saying every car costs that. But what I'm saying is the average used car is almost 30,000. I saw this reporter, I had a laugh, telling us we can get used cars for $5,000. Okay. All right. Love to meet you at that lot. You might get some jalopy at some friggin' junkyard. I know a bunch of car guys. We've all looked at cars. A decent used car. Now, Subaru's cool, though. You can get one high teens, used. Used. A used truck? No, ma'am. No, not a Denali or Tahoe or whatever the hell they're called. No. It's a very difficult time for a lot of folks feeling a lot of stress. I do not blame Trump for this stuff. I'm not that kind of guy. There's 8,000 things happening. But it's very stressful for a lot of folks just trying to get through, man. Just trying to get through. Go to the store and you want to buy grass seed. I'm serious.
Enlighten me, Marty.
Grass seed, $75 for a bag of friggin' grass seed, Trevin.
That's incredible.
It is.
You mentioned earlier, you said that we're not in a recession or depression, and I get the depression piece. But why, I guess, for lack of a better way of asking the question, are we not in a recession or close to a recession when you're looking at the high prices of gasoline,
looking at
groceries?
I don't know, but there are rules to a recession.
Got it.
And that is, those things have not ticked into place yet. But to your point, the gurus, the men and women who know say you're right, that here we are in the doorway.
Okay, in the doorway, but not...
Not there.
Okay, got it.
And David's right. And Patrick knows this too. The stock market has friggin' exploded. But much of that is tech. Just saying. The other stuff, not so great.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Okay, this is a big deal. And I'm just getting word from my wife, Christine, who's in, been supporting this and who has information on this this issue involving phone-free schools. Monday's a big day. This is actually very cool. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
The only person I get to call sweetheart on the air. tell me what's happening Monday. This is important.
Yeah, we just found out that the Pennsylvania State House of Representatives in Harrisburg will be voting Monday on House Bill 1814. That is the bill to mandate that all schools, secondary and younger, in Pennsylvania are phone free. This is something that more than half of states in the country already have. This would be bell to bell, which basically means the first bell to the last bell. Kids would not be allowed to have their phones. Of course, there are exceptions made for people who have special needs or certain circumstances, but the whole point is that this is freedom from phones, and the science and the research is showing that this is really helping out kids to be phone free during the school day.
And there's even data now that schools are saying to hell with the phones and the laptops. They want to get back to the basics. Pencils, paper, notebooks. Right, honey?
Yeah, actually, just this week, one of the two largest teachers unions just came out nationally and said they are advocating for going back to more pen and paper. They're finding the screens are just not as good for learning, and that's something that Pennsylvania and Unplugged has advocated for. And speaking of teachers unions, 200,000 teachers in Pennsylvania, represented by one of the largest teachers union, is supporting this House bill for phone-free schools, as is the School Resource Officers Association, because I know that's often been one of the concerns families have is, you know, I want my kid to have a phone during the school day if something bad should happen. But the school resource officers are really saying this is the best for everybody involved.
Kind of has a lot of grassroots effort in Mount Lebanon. You have a whole group, do you not?
Yeah, and again, I'm speaking on behalf of Christine Griffin, not on my job. But yes, there's an organization called LIBO Unplugged. We're a chapter of Pennsylvania Unplugged. They've met with more than 30 legislators, advocated in different hearings up in Harrisburg for this bill, and really have been the largest support from parents for this legislation. And it did pass the Senate already, and Governor Shapiro has already said he will sign it.
He has.
So this is the final thing that is needed. So if this is something that you support, or if it's something you don't support, now is the time to reach out to your legislator and let them know, because they will be voting on it, we're told, on Monday.
And you've had tremendous support from Devlin Robinson as well, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. He was one of the original sponsors, our local state senator, Devlin Robinson. Many of our local legislators have been supportive of it. I mean, it passed in the state Senate. By only one person did not vote for it.
Oh,
so
wow.
It does show, but
oh, wow.
But it's not guaranteed in the House. So
oh,
I
wow.
don't want people to think like, oh, it's going to pass. There is, you know, some concern that it may or may not. So if this is important to you, I think it's best if you could email, call, reach out to your rep and let them know.
This annoys the hell out of the kids. So she knows this. They find this to be annoying. They think it's punitive. Do they not, honey?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an adjustment. If you're used to having your phone at school all day, of course, going to not having it is going to be a huge adjustment. It would be for anybody. But I will tell you, I've spoken with at least one principal who did make that change 2 years ago. And she said, first of all, for the kids, you know, the teachers love it. She said the parents love it. Even the parents who were against it came back to her after and said that they were wrong and that it was really an improvement to the entire school culture. And she said the kids, quote unquote, low-key like it because now they're forced to talk to people. There's always going to be an adjustment when there's change. But,
Patrick,
you know, again, the research is showing it's the right thing.
What is your kid saying? What are his friends saying? My kids are annoyed by this. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, they're a little annoyed, but their teachers already do this. So of the, I think he only has three classes this semester, two of the three, they have to put their phones in a lockbox or a basket when they go into class.
Honey,
so
do they do that?
They're fine
Lebo?
With that.
Do they do that now? I forget.
They do it at Mount Lebanon, yes. They do have to put it in a caddy when they walk in the class. The difference with this bill is that they would not be allowed to use their phones in between classes in the hallways or at lunchtime or study hall, all those downtimes as well. So it's really, this addresses not just the academic concerns, but more of the social concerns as well with having the phones available all day.
Using a cliche sort of less is more. I'm with you, honey. Less is more. It just is.
And this isn't to put it all on teachers and schools.
No.
I mean, parents, all of us are in this together. We're all trying to help our kids and ourselves. I mean, we're the first ones who have to be role models for our kids on how to use our phones. And we're all trying to figure it out. It's not easy.
Christine, what do you want folks to do this weekend or even today, probably?
Yeah, voice your opinion today if you can or before Monday morning for House Bill 1814, which is the phone-free schools bill in Pennsylvania. It's going to be voted on Monday.
Call your rep. Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
She's good. Cute, too. the phones have become too much in school. It's gross. And I'm the same way, by the way. I'm a big offender. Because in my world, I'm always producing this show. Ask Patrick, who gets stuff for me at 11 at night or 4 in the morning. That's my problem. To the point where I have to physically put it somewhere so I don't see it. And it's a gift to have the information, but it's a curse to not find a way to control it. Right, Patrick? You do that. You control
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, I've started putting my phone away, you know, 9, 10 o'clock. I put it away and try and stay off of it completely. But
Trevin, what about you? You put it away?
I'm the worst person to ask. I ignore my phone.
Yeah, I noticed this. I have noticed this, Patrick. He's like my dad.
I put my phone down and I let it go. I'm sorry.
All right. Oh, man, I love you. Right back. My man Dean calling about the roaches. I love all of you, but my man Dean, if you have a problem that needs solved, email me. It's easier. Get Marty at kdkradio.com. Get Marty at kdkradio.com. I'm not trying to disrespect that you have a rodent problem, but I'm not two things. I'm not a rodent expert, and I can't solve your rodent problem on a talk show at 10 minutes to 2 on Friday afternoon. But email me, get Marty at kdkradio.com. It's just, I want to mention this because I think it's important. We're putting together something pretty astounding that we will bring to the general public in the next month or so. It comes across my desk more than anyone's because folks send me their messages. Their messages of hopelessness, quite frankly. Can't get a car fixed. Can't pay a water bill. Can't buy groceries. We get a lot of this. And unless I cobble together, and I'm not complaining because you folks have been, like, we have cash in a drawer in the back because people drop it off at the front desk and then I'll meet someone on the street and give them $500. Fine. Not really an efficient way to do things at scale, as they say. A very successful man who wants to remain anonymous but is insanely, insanely courageous and a big shot and a player and has a lot of hope in creating change and making a difference and helping those kind of folks. It came to me last week and asked for a face-to-face meeting, and we had it, duh. And wants to do this anonymously, but we are going to set up, in essence, what amounts to a fund to help you folks at scale. And we're working with probably the best nonprofit in America. My man, Ozzy, who's brilliant, charming, kind, engaging, and successful. Probably the best foundation, probably the best nonprofit in America, Brothers Brother. They have these insane mobile units right now helping people with medical issues. It's amazing what they accomplish. And if you're in their headquarters, it boggles the mind. What they did was, and what they do is, they have all these big brains from Carnegie Mellon with PhDs who hit home runs in the private sector, who said, I want to make a difference, and I want to change the game, and I want to do something magnificent. And they are. So that being said, because I do want to mention that this comes up a lot, and I hate it. I don't hate that you need. I hate that we can't help everyone fast. We hope for a phone call or a check or something. There's no mechanism in place to be constantly helping people, and that's kind of why we're here. So if we need a roof for a house, that's what we needed for Pastor Hogan. One of my boys had to write a check. I just did. And then NASCO had to do it at cost, and they did. My point is, there has to be a way to make that work better. And long story short, without being public about the man involved, because he's adamant about saying he wants to be anonymous, which is so damn cool. But I see more and more rich people having these Warren Buffett moments, as I call them. What is that? Buffett, who for most of his life has been the richest man on earth, is now and has been giving away his vast fortune, other than about 2% of it, to give to his heirs, whatever you want to say. And he's changing the world. Bill Gates, the same thing. Gates says, whether you like him or not, I don't really care. Writing checks to change the world. Oftentimes, rich guys hit a wall. They chase this rabbit, and then they realize, my steak. My steak is thick enough. I'm cool. And my kids don't need $25 billion each. I'll just ruin them. And as my friend Naya says, you and the anonymous person are inspiring and creating true heroes. The man who reached out to me and met me at the Panera down the street, the first thing he said was, I won't do any of this if you make this public. Because I'm kind of a big fan of giving accolades, because I think it's important to pat people on the back, whether it's my kids or Patrick or Trevin. What they do behind the scenes and what we end up accomplishing with this team on a daily basis would blow your mind. And I know there's a significant audience out there of folks that can't stand me, and that's cool too. That's what you are. We are what we are. I am what I am. And there's things I do that irritate you, and I completely get that. However, those same people turn around and ask me for help, and we don't deny them. But what hurts my heart is that just about every single day, somebody comes to us and says, I need help, and we can't help them. You know what I'm saying, Patrick? You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah,
you know this. We feel this.
Yeah, it is hard when you can't help somebody, and you really want to.
Yep.
And there's so many things we'd love to do that we just can't.
And we are going to. Very, very soon. All right, so stay tuned for that. We'll announce the details of that here. Is that Margo? Margo, come here, please, real quick. Please. Right here. She made Patrick Teller. Tell her.
Those cookies?
Maybe the best we've ever had.
Yeah, for real.
Guys, oh my gosh. Thanks.
My wife went berserk.
Really? Did she like it?
They stuck to a napkin because of the chocolate or whatever the hell.
And my caramel.
My son was eating the napkin. What the hell is that?
It was a sea salt caramel chocolate chip cookie.
Did you make that up?
I didn't make it up, the concept, but I made
it's unbelievable.
I made the cookies up with my hands.
Like the bottom was coated with, was that caramel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I made the caramel myself.
No.
Stop. I did. I did.
So my wife and son and daughters were eating them like it was their last supper.
I love that you brought them to them.
Oh, I didn't. Well, as soon as I tasted it, I said, they're not going to believe this.
Yeah, they got to try it.
Will you send me that recipe?
I will. I got it on AI.
Did you?
No way.
I did. Well, I refined it to kind of make it better, but I just said, give me a caramel chocolate chip recipe. Because when you go on those recipe sites, you have to read an essay about how they figured out they liked chocolate and caramel together.
Oh.
And then so I just wanted just a random recipe that.
Best cookie we ever had in our lives. So send me the recipe?
I'll send it.
Insane, right, Patrick?
Amazing.
Amazing.
For real.
Thanks, guys.
You could sell
Rock
that.
Star.
Woo.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.